Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Concerned about the situation in our financial markets and our economy, and I share their concerns. I've canceled my travel today to stay in Washington, where I'll continue to closely monitor the situation in our financial markets and consult with my economic advisors. I spoke to Secretary Paulson this morning, and I will meet with him later on today. In recent weeks, the federal government has taken extraordinary measures to address the challenges confronting our financial markets.
Debido a serios reveses de nuestras tropas en Guantánamo y Santiago, mi permanencia en Cuba es insostenible. Renuncio para evitar más derramamiento de sangre y salgo de la ciudad inmediatamente. Me despido a nombre de mi familia y en el mío propio, deseándoles a todos muy buena suerte.
Traitor! Come on. Come with me. It's the only way out of here tonight. Traitor! Traitor! Come with me! You're still my brother!
It is the Savage Nation. Things to do to Wall Street and the Fed. Welcome to the program. Now, I realize that the opening to today's show contains several elements that only the true Savage aficionado would be able to link together. This was a test only for those in the PhD program of the Savage Nation, where I linked up one speech with one soundbite, then another soundbite, then a piece of music. And I will leave it at that. That's only for those in the advanced PhD program of the Savage Nation. For the rest of us listening to this show, my lead story is why Wall Street wanted Elliot Spitzer gone. Now, many of you will say, what the heck is Savage talking about now? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about now. I listened to one con man after another for the last 3 days, one gangster after another, speaking in nice modulated tones after the other. And not one of them will say what the American people are demanding to hear. And that is, this was caused by criminality. We're going to get the criminals. We're going to bring in the equivalent of an Elliot Ness. And that Elliot Ness is going to find out who stole the billions, where the billions are. And these billions are going to be restored to the shareholders of these companies and to the American people. And they're going to jail and directly to jail. And we don't care if they're hiding in Yemen. We don't care if they're hiding in Switzerland. We don't care if they're hiding in Saudi Arabia or in Russia. We are going to find out which citizens did this to this country. But instead, we hear generalities. We hear John McCain saying he's for regulation. That's after he said he was against regulation. So now he's for regulation after he was against regulation. We have Obama, who's a complete idiot, saying that it's the Republicans' fault without saying what he would do if he was in charge. He's out of the picture altogether. But I want to talk about who I would hire tomorrow to straighten this mess out. There's only one man in America who I would trust. And you know why I say this? Because he was on their trail before they pulled up this hooker scandal on him to get rid of him. That's Elliot Spitzer. Now, I don't know Elliot Spitzer. He's the former attorney general, former governor of New York State. But as you know, strangely, out of nowhere, Elliot Spitzer was found to have, visited a escort service, and that was turned into a major league scandal, and God, the world came to an end. But you didn't ask yourself why this happened at the time. I did. I asked on this show, why do you think they're going after Elliot Spitzer right now? Well, I'll give you a few answers as to why they went after Elliot Spitzer at that time. Because Elliot Spitzer was on the trail of the gangsters who just took down Wall Street. He was the only one who knew who they were. He was the one who was trying to stop it. He was the one who could have stopped it. But you see, they got him where he was weak, just like in The Godfather. If you remember in The Godfather, when the senator is compromised, he was compromised in a house of ill repute in Nevada, owned by one of the family Corleone brothers, if you remember. And then he becomes owned by them. Well, that's how the movie worked out. Didn't work out this way. Many people are saying they don't know what to do. It's quoted today that Harry Reid of the Democrat Party said nobody knows what to do. Hey, Harry, nice to meet you. I'm Michael Savage. I'm going to give you five things to do to straighten the mess out. I know what to do. You want things to do to straighten out Wall Street and the Fed and get some of the money back and to straighten out the economy? Let's start with something no one's mentioned yet. Cut off all medical, educational, legal, and housing benefits to illegal aliens immediately. Now, why does Michael Savage say that? Because it's intimately involved with the collapse of America. The bums on Wall Street gave loans to buy houses to illegal aliens who had no down payment. Not because they liked illegal aliens, but because they were live bodies who they could sell a mortgage to without regard to the fact that they could never pay it back. How much do you think it costs the state that you are in to support illegal aliens? I was in an emergency room last night again. That's right, again, I was in an emergency room. Now, I don't mind that the folks in there were having a nice time and practically cooking a goat on the floor. It didn't bother me that half of them were, none of them spoke English. Didn't bother me at all. After all, I'm a compassionate man. I love the fact that I'm paying for their medical care, even though none of them were citizens, I can tell you right now. The state of California spends approximately $15 billion a year to pay for medical, educational, and legal costs associated with illegal aliens. That's the last figure I saw, which is about equal to the budget deficit of this large state. But not one governor, not one empty suit, not one empty skirt in this country, whether it be in New York or in California or in Illinois or in Florida or you name it, your state, has said, you know what, we can't afford it anymore. The people were right. We're not paying another dime. Not one more nickel is going to go to another non-citizen. There's going to be a policeman at the door of every emergency room. We're putting a cop there. If you don't have citizenship papers, we're not going to treat you. Gee, that would save about $100 billion a year right there. That's not all the money that we need right now, but that bailed out Freddie Mac, didn't it? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, $100 billion apiece, now AIG. Where's the money going to come from? Let's start by balancing the books. How do you balance the books? Cut off all medical, educational, legal, and housing benefits to illegal aliens immediately. Did you hear that? Now, number two, one-third of all prisoners in the United States of America are illegal aliens. Did you know that one out of three are illegal aliens? Your empty skirts and your empty suits in politics won't acknowledge that fact. If we have 1.2 million people in prison, which was the last number I saw, that means we have 400,000 people in this country in prisons who are being cared for at a cost of approximately $40,000 a year, which is about $16 billion plus hidden costs that we could recover immediately by deporting every illegal alien out of our prisons. That's correct. Deport them. So right away, you see there's a little money. Now, that's just starting here. That's to start with. Mr. Reid doesn't know what to do. The president doesn't know what to do. McCain doesn't know what to do. Obama doesn't know what to do. I know what to do. Cut off all money to illegal aliens. They're not citizens. They're bleeding us dry. Throw out every illegal alien prisoner. They don't belong here. We can't afford them at $40,000 a year. Now I'm going to go down to the next level, the real level. I would arrest and indict and try the CEOs and CFOs of Wall Street firms suspected of financial misdeeds. Now, who can do that? Do we have an Elliot Ness? We had one. His name was Elliot Spitzer. And I'm going to name names, by the way, in a few minutes on this show. I'm going to name names. I would then seize the assets of CEOs and CFOs when their chicanery is proven. I would take all of their ill-gotten gains away from them, their wives, their children, their grandmothers, their grandfathers, and turn it back to the shareholders who were robbed. Fire Chris Cox, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, which, by the way, now McCain finally called for. I called for it when? When did I call for it? I called for it last week. I was a week ahead of John McCain on that one. I said, fire Chris Cox. The man is a joke. But there's more than a joke involved. I believe there was criminal negligence on the part of Christopher Cox in permitting Wall Street to rape the American economy. Hold him accountable. Who would you put in place of Chris Cox? I would give Elliot Spitzer amnesty, and I put him into that job of heading up the SEC. He was taken down by the money changers. He was the only one going after the criminals on Wall Street. Number five, I would stop the Federal Reserve from bailing out multi-billion dollar companies at taxpayers' expense. We have become a third world nation under George Bush. Now, I told you six months ago that he wasn't through with us yet. I told you that he was not yet through with us yet. He gave us, at the beginning of his career, had nothing to do with it, of course, but strangely enough, we've gone from 9/11 to 9/15 in a mere 8 years, all under the watch of one man, George W. Bush. The buck stops there. Now, here's the question for you, another question. Now, there's not only one, but there's several questions. It's interesting to me that he doesn't know what to do. He has no idea who to put on Wall Street to investigate who may have robbed the shareholders. Remember this very clearly. When you hear that people, that money has been lost, there's human beings out there who are broke now who were not bad people. They were average people. Not only did they lose jobs, they lost their investments in so many companies. But somebody benefited. Many bodies have benefited. Many girls of these people have benefited. Why they have, I told you jokingly, not so jokingly, a few months ago, these people were so fat on what they robbed off Wall Street that they were giving Gulfstream 3s to their maids. They had a Gulfstream 5, of course, but they gave the Gulfstream 3 to their favorite maid. They gave away their old Gulfstream 2 to their maid's maid. They gave away an old Gulfstream 1 to their jockey. That's how bad it had gotten. So you say there are no assets? I disagree with you. There are trillions of dollars of assets that have been stolen out of this country that is somewhere. That money is somewhere. The problem is we don't have an Elliot Ness. Now, we did have an Elliot Ness. New York State elected him as governor. He had been the attorney general who went after many companies that he thought were doing bad things. Then he went after Wall Street. And, of course, the next thing we knew, there was a scandal about him and a hooker, a couple of hookers, and he was gone. Why did Wall Street want Spitzer gone is today's question. If you go to michaelsavage.com, the lead story on the left front is why Wall Street wanted Spitzer gone. And I'm going to read you one paragraph just to give you a taste of what's coming today on the Savage Nation, direct from an emergency room to you. It's not every day that a company thumbs its nose at New York State Attorney General Elliot Spitzer. This is from Business Week from June 2003. But that's what Walt Disney, DIS company board did when it rejected a request from a small shareholder that Chairman and CEO Michael D. Eisner give back money he pocketed from buying 30,000 shares in the 1999 initial public offering, the IPO, of Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. The board concluded that Eisner got his stock because of his personal financial ties to Goldman, not because of any influence he wielded at Disney. Close quote. Now, I am not accusing Michael Eisner of insider trading, but I'm just citing a historical article for the flavor of today. I'll be right back. Savage.
We have had a bad banking situation. Some of our bankers have shown themselves either incompetent or dishonest in their handling of the people's funds. They had used the money entrusted to them in speculation and unwise loans. This was, of course, not true in the vast majority of our banks, but it was true in enough of them to shock the people of the United States for a time into a sense of insecurity and to put them into a frame of mind where they did not differentiate, but seemed to assume that the acts of a comparative few had tainted them all. And so it became the government's job to straighten out this situation.
And that's Franklin Delano Roosevelt from 1933 in his fireside chat on banking. Now, we would love to have heard George Bush say the same thing. Instead, he stumbled and mumbled through another speech that was an embarrassment to this great republic. We've had 8 years of this embarrassment. And unfortunately, there's 3 months left, and I don't think we've gotten the last shock to our system. You can mark that one down. Mark down what I just said. If you think that this collapse on Wall Street is the last shock you're going to get in 08, you're mistaken. They got a few more surprises for you. I hear Harry Reid, who had everything negative to say about Republicans for years and years and years, suddenly saying he doesn't know what to do. He's saying nobody in Congress knows what to do. I actually believe that. I don't think any of them know what to do. I think they're so full of garbage and crap that even a colonoscopy couldn't clean them out. That's my feeling. When I see what they've done to this country on both sides of the aisle, with very rare exception, letting illegal aliens run this country into the ground, giving them better medical care than your father or your grandfather, a veteran of World War II, would receive, giving the children of illegal aliens educational care better than you get, giving them scholarships at the cost of billions of dollars, giving them housing loans that you are not entitled to as a citizen, and we're screaming for years to stop it and nobody does anything, they spit in our face. And we see how they lived on Wall Street. I've been calling them pirates. I mean, we all know about Gecko on Wall Street. But let's get down to brass tacks. What has to be done? Anyone can say things are bad. They all say they don't know what to do. I told you what to do. Cut off all funds to the illegal aliens. That'll bring in about $150 billion at the very least. Immediately arrest, indict, and try the CEOs and CFOs of any suspect Wall Street firm. But in order to do this, you need someone to do it. I don't know of anyone to do it other than the man who was going to do it, and that man is now waiting for a trial. His name is Elliot Spitzer. And there are other people Elliot Spitzer was looking at. May 24th, 2004, CNN Money staff writer. Spitzer seeks $100 million from Grasso. New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer filed a lawsuit against former New York Stock Exchange chairman Richard Grasso and the exchange Monday, seeking the return of some of Grasso's $187 million pay package. The civil lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. And they say that Spitzer says that the board of the New York Stock Exchange was misled about parts of Grasso's pay. Again, I am not accusing Mr. Grasso of any wrongdoing. I am merely citing some articles for historic reference.
Savage.
We have to protect the taxpayer, and we have to protect the homeowners and the consumers. This isn't about Hank Paulson and what he said. It's about the mismanagement of the Bush administration of our economy.
All right, Nancy, fine. Yeah, all right. Yeah, tell your story walking. That's the other side of the aisle. So, in other words, none of them know what to do other than point fingers at the other party, which is what we've had enough of, which is why they're the lowest rated Congress in history. We know that they're both full of crap. Both sides of the aisle are liars, and both sides of the aisle are full of you know what. And that's why we, the people, knew this was coming. We sensed it in our bones. In that day, a man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to the moles and to the bats. In that day, a man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. That's from Isaiah. And so when you say the Bible has no relevance to today's events, I would say you're crazy. The Bible always has relevance to current events, which I've tried to do on this show for 15 years. And I tell you right now, if this is not the worship of idols of silver and gold, what we are witnessing, I'd like to know what is. But now to get down to earth and get away from the theological. So I told you that Elliot Spitzer was on their trail. Elliot Spitzer was trying to bring them to bear. He was brought down by his own weakness, and what man doesn't have a weakness? It's just that he happened to get caught, and they did it to him because he was about to indict and arrest some of the very same characters, in my opinion, who are responsible for what has happened. Now, here's another story on Elliot Spitzer. Look, this is all on why Wall Street wanted Spitzer gone, put together by my greats. Here's another one from Business Week, October 15, 2004. Insurers knew risk, Elliot Spitzer. New York Attorney General sued against insurance broker Marsh and McLennan and other heavyweights may change the way the industry does business. America's biggest insurers have found themselves in the midst of a scandal that could change the very nature of the business. On Thursday, October 14th, 2004, New York AG Elliot Spitzer charged Marsh and McLennan, the huge financial services firm and world's largest insurance broker, with fraud. In a civil complaint filed in New York State Supreme Court, Spitzer alleges that the firm engaged in bid rigging, price fixing, and accepted payoffs from insurers. Why Wall Street wanted Spitzer gone. Here's another one for your quill. Spitzer, December 13, 2006, Bloomberg News. UBS improperly put clients into costly accounts. Did you hear this one? UBS AG was sued by New York State over allegations that Europe's largest bank defrauded thousands of brokerage clients out of tens of millions of dollars by steering them into costly accounts they didn't need. In the complaint, Spitzer claimed UBS charged a 91-year-old woman more than $35,000 for making just four trades over 2 years, or $33,000 more than she would have paid in a traditional account. Here's another little one for you. Spitzer accuses H&R Block of defrauding investors. That's right. Posted 3/15/2006, USA Today. 4 years ago, H&R Block, HRB, facing criticism from consumer groups over some of its practices, launched a program called the Express IRA that it said would encourage low-income people to save for retirement. Wednesday, New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer said that program had done precisely the opposite. In a $250 million lawsuit, Spitzer said Block defrauded hundreds of thousands of people by persuading them to invest in a, quote, poorly performing, fee-ridden retirement vehicle that was guaranteed to lose money. End of story. Next case. Spitzer Wyden's insurance probe, BBC, Saturday, November 13, 2004. New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer has sued a second U.S. insurer for allegedly rigging the insurance market to fatten its profits. Mr. Spitzer filed a lawsuit against Universal Life Resources in the New York State Supreme Court, Manhattan. And finally, for today, because I know you can't take any more of this, Fox News, May 5, 2006, Spitzer files suit against insurer Liberty Mutual, accusing them of rigging bids and making payoffs to steer business its way. Now, these are just some of the stories that I'm pointing out that are worthy of consideration. You know that Bernanke's Fed, for the first time in its history, loaned a selected coterie of banks one-fifth of $1 trillion to guarantee mortgage-backed junk bonds, so-called Fannie and Freddie. You know that this public loot was a windfall to the very banking thieves who have brought 2 million families to the brink of foreclosure. The very thieves who have done this were given a reward by the United States government from George Bush. And up until a very recent time, there was only one politician who stood in the way of these creeps. These creeps, and that was Elliot Spitzer. They lynched Elliot Spitzer in order to continue robbing the Treasury, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying that Elliot Spitzer is innocent of the charges against him, but if you want to evaluate whether a man goes to a massage parlor is a crime equal to robbing billions of dollars, go ahead and do so. What about Countrywide? What happened there? Well, there's more in that story that I'll tell you about another day. I don't have enough time to do this all today. I came in today because we have a situation that I think I need to talk about. I didn't come in to entertain you or entertain myself. I believe that we are entering another Great Depression, and I have evidence to show you that we are entering, if not already in, the Great Depression. And if you look at the Great Depression of 1929, you'll find that we're already there. If you look at the percentages of stocks, of the percent in valuation that stocks fell, we're already there in some ways. I know stocks went up today, okay? Just listen carefully. Don't be a wise guy, because I know what I'm talking about. You may not know anything. Just because you listen to the blowhard doesn't mean you know anything. Just because you listen to Frito doesn't mean you know anything. And just because you listen to the guy who should be wearing an apron and be talking in Duffy's Saloon doesn't mean you know anything. Just listen to me before you open your yap. Do you know what caused the Great Depression? Many stocks were purchased on margin. What is margin? They used loans secured by only a small fraction of the stock's value. And I learned in high school that the way they straightened out the market after the Great Depression, which affected everyone in my family when I was a kid, is all I heard about. It's all I heard about when I was growing up. What, the Great Depression this, the Great Depression that. I didn't know what it was. All I heard was how terrible it was from my father and my uncles. I didn't know what they were talking about because I grew up basically in the 50s where there was plenty after World War II. What did I know about the Great Depression? They try to tell me, and my mind would fog over, you know, like, the old men are talking again. But during the Great Depression, terrible things happened to people. Businesses went under. Houses were lost. Jobs were lost. Men who had families were riding the rails. They were giving away apples in the street to men who couldn't find a job. Grown men who had been working as executives were selling pencils in New York. Terrible things happened. Men threw themselves out of buildings. I heard over and over again, some rich men threw themselves out of buildings on Wall Street. Well, so far, no one's thrown themselves out of buildings. You know why? They don't have to. They threw you out of a building. They threw you out of the building because they got the government on their side to make sure they don't go out of the building, to make sure you went out the building. Today, it's a different story. What do you mean by buying on margin? In order to stop this from happening again, the government put in controls after the Great Depression in the 30s, which said you cannot buy stocks on such a large margin. You need to put down a certain amount of money. You can't just trade it like a casino. Okay, so that would prevent wild speculation. Same with a mortgage. I've told you this for 6 months now. I wanted a house when I was young and first working. The banker said no. Why? You don't have 20% down. I said, well, I have 15. Sorry, can't buy it. I can lend you money for a car. I don't want a car. I want a house. I have a kid. I want a house. Can't have a house. You need 20% down. Why? Because, well, maybe one day you won't be able to make the payments and we can't afford to see the housing market destroyed. So you need 20% down. What happened in the last few years is under George Bush and his insanity called deregulation. And by the way, don't fall for this rubbish of deregulation. Don't go for this Republican garbage called deregulation. This is outright thievery. It's not deregulation. It's turning the country into Argentina. We're like gauchos now living in a third world nation because of this thievery. This was not deregulation. This was outright thievery. They let people buy a house with nothing down. And then they said, not only do you have to put nothing down, how much money would you like in addition to that? That's like going to a supermarket and buying groceries and giving me a credit card, and they say, would you like cash back? That's so shocking to me. I still go in a store. I can't believe it. I see girls without a nickel in their pocket with a credit card. They go in and they buy chewing gum because they're broke. They wear the $1,000 mono shoes, and all they know is about a pointy shoe and an orgasm that night. And the moron is already busted, not a nickel in her pocket. She buys bubble gum, and she says, I'll take $20 back for the bubble gum. She's basically living on credit. That's the society you want to live in? Instead of the girl realizing she's living beyond her means, instead of buying shoes for $3,000, she shouldn't have bought the shoes for $3,000. But if you watch enough Sex and the City, you should be able to buy anything. So they brainwashed the country into thinking they should buy anything at any time and blah, blah, blah. So let's get back to brass tacks here. Causes of the Great Depression, using loans secured by only a small fraction of the stock's value, buying on margin. So what happened was the stock market crashed. What did it actually mean? How low did the market go? It declined 33%. Between stocks' peak in September and their low in November, U.S. stock prices, measured by the so-called CALS index, declined 33%. And because this decline was so dramatic, the event was referred to as the Great Crash of 1929. Now, I want you to ask yourself a question. Has our market declined by 33% over the last X number of weeks, months, or days? 10%? 5%? We're certainly in some state of shock here, and I'm not going to go into this any further today because I have very, very limited time. Extremely limited time because I'm only going to be with you part of the time today on the show. I was told again not to be here, but I'm here because I have a lot to do. And while I'm here, I want to remind you that my book, Psychological Nudity, Bears More Than Politics, and it is on michaelsavage.com. And one of the great stories in there, which relates to this in a strange way, is my story called Dead Man's Pants. And that's to show you that I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. No, sorry, Bob. I grew up with men who were very poor, and I'm proud of it. And I've told you that before. I would have been just as proud to have been born to a senator father. I would have been just as proud to have been born to another father as long as he was honest. I wouldn't care if he was a senator or the president of a major corporation or a poor man. All I cared was that I had an honest father. And my father taught me certain rules, which was never take from anyone what's not yours. That's number one. And a number of other things. Unfortunately, those simple rules were thrown out the window in the last few decades. And, of course, in the last few years under George Bush, they've not only been thrown out the window, but everything we've been taught not to do, we were taught in order to do. And if you say he's a conservative, I tell you, I've been calling him. How long have I called George Bush a fiscal socialist? How long have I said on this show, George Bush is a fiscal socialist? Many of you laughed at me. Many of you got mad at me. I see the blogs. People send them to me. And I know who's writing them. I know who they work for. They work for these morons on talk radio who have idiots who write things against me because they're afraid of me. These people who couldn't shine my shoes on a shiny day. These jerks with law degrees on these other stations who couldn't shine my shoes in the bright sun. They have millions who write emails against me saying this about me and that against me because they couldn't shine my shoes on a sunny day. But let me tell you something. I understand what's going on and most of them don't. And one of the biggest things I understand is going on is that George Bush is a fiscal socialist. And for you to sit there and support the Republican Party and to sit there and continue to say that the Democrats are bad, the Republicans are good, the Democrats are bad, the Democrats did it. It shows me how stupid the American people really are. It shows me how gullible the average person really is. It shows me, embarrassingly, that we are entitled to the politicians that we have. We're not entitled to anything better than Obama or McCain. That's about our level. We're about at a level of approximately an IQ of about 80 on fish oils. This country is the stupidest it's ever been. With all the college education, the country has become dumber and dumber and dumber. Because what the kids learn in college today is less than what your father learned in high school by the ninth grade. You've learned nothing in college other than this and other than that. And I don't have to go into the litany of what I have to say about colleges today. And believe me, I'm a man who loves learning. I'm a man with many higher degrees. So don't think that I'm an anti-education man. I love learning. I love it very dearly. And I spent most of my life in school, in colleges and universities before coming into this field. But we are stupider as a nation as a result of the college educations today than we were than your father got out in a high school education. You don't even know what buying on margin is. You don't even know what caused the Great Depression. You don't even know that George Bush is a fiscal socialist. You don't even know that we have all become a communist nation virtually overnight. You say, what is he talking about? Well, let's see what I'm talking about. The bailout of Fannie and Freddie, $200 billion, socialism. Did any of the directors of those companies, have they been indicted? Have they been called before Congress? Why not? Why have the great Democrats not called any of the directors of Fannie and Freddie before Congress immediately? Because they were bought off by them through donations. In other words, they're corrupt. That's called corruption. Do you understand what corruption is? Corruption is when you donate money to a politician and he shuts his mouth even though he knows you're a crook. So we have a corrupt Congress on both sides of the aisle. Did you hear what I just said to you? Otherwise, we would have an investigation immediately of the directors of Fannie and Freddie, right off the bat. And there would have been, how much money were you worth before you became a director of Fannie Mae? How much were you worth when you left Fannie Mae? Okay, where is that money? How did you make that money? Question number three. Now they bail out AIG, a private insurance company. How much did that cost? Well, they didn't bail them out. They gave them a loan, right? Oh, yeah, they gave them a loan. Communism. That's what, if Chavez in Venezuela had seized two major banks and an insurance company, which is what basically they've done, it's just being done in a different way. They would say, oh, Chavez, we should send in the 82nd Airborne. Oh, really? Well, maybe we should send in the 82nd Airborne should be sent in right now to Wall Street. Listen to clip 16. Listen to this one.
How is this happening? They never made the real calls. They never made the tough decisions. Their ideology was such that they believed everyone should own a home, including people who were deadbeats and had no right to own a home. They were anti-regulation. Now we have spent $900 billion bailing out these institutions. And a twist on what Nixon said after the seizure last night of AIG and Fannie Mae, we're all communists now.
Jim Cramer. I like Jim. Jim knows what he's talking about. I'm Michael Savage. So do I. I'll be back.
Do the Wall Street Shuffle. Hear the money rustle. Watch the green bank.
Savage Nation, we're talking about many different things, mainly what to do about the mess in the financial markets. Apparently, nobody in government knows what to do. Of course, they don't know what to do with anything other than how to line their own pockets. So, we the people, I guess, have to say, guess what? Well, here's five things you could do. One, cut off all funds to illegal aliens in the form of education and medication. That's about $150 billion a year by the best estimate. Deport all illegal aliens in prison. That's about 400,000 people. at about $40,000 a year. That's about $16 billion. There's a starter for you. I realize it's not going to cover the whole nut. There's a starter. Then how about investigating and indicting and holding trials for all those on the boards of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, as well as the companies involved in this mess, and see where their money is hidden? You know, there's some things you can do. I realize the government doesn't know what to do, but we the people do know what to do. So now we look into why I'm saying to you they took out Elliot Spitzer. New York Governor Elliot Spitzer was busted for paying an escort $4,300 in a hotel room, and that became a huge scandal. Now, why did that become a scandal at that time? How did they know that? Because the very same – well, let's not go into how they knew it. I think you can put it together. Just watch The Godfather. You'll figure out how they knew it. Okay? Now let's get down to why they want to take Spitzer out. Why? Do you know why? Do you know why? Well, one of the companies that Spitzer was after was a company called Countrywide. Really? Why Countrywide? Well, they were steering mortgages to poor people that they couldn't afford, which up until Bush came along was illegal. Did you know that steering subprime loans with high interest rates and fake inducements to overborrow was known as fraudulent conveyance or predatory lending under U.S. law? Did you know that that U.S. law was thrown away by George Bush, and that federal regulators looked the other way to permit such fraudulent conveyance or predatory lending? Did you know why? No, you don't know why. Well, now maybe you'll learn a little bit why. AG, at the time, Spitzer, sued these guys to try to stop them. He tried to stop them. Instead of doing that, Bush went around them and tried to get rid of them. Why? Well, they used a thing called federal preemption. Bush used an unprecedented use of a law called federal preemption, and they ordered the states to not enforce their consumer protection laws. I don't think you know any of this. No kidding, and I wonder why. Why did he take on Countrywide? Did you know that Countrywide's top man, Angelo Mazzillo, will earn a $77 million buyout bonus this year on top of the $656 million? Oh, for half a billion that he pulled in from 98 to 07? You didn't know any of this, huh? Well, now you know a little bit about
Savage.
It.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is to do the Wall Street Shuffle, let your money hustle, bet you'd sell your mother, you can buy another. Okay? Now, one of the lyrics says, you buy and sell, you wheel and deal, but you're living on instinct, you get a tip, you follow it and make a big killing. We all know about you get a tip. Most of us get bum steers and bum tips. But there are insiders who not only get the right tip, but they make the tip. They manipulate markets. Welcome to the Savage Nation. They should go directly to jail and do not pass go. Now, the problem is, where is Elliot Ness now that we need him? The answer is, he's awaiting indictment on a hooker charge. His name is Elliot Spitzer. Elliot Spitzer was the former governor of the state of New York. As an attorney general, he made a name for himself by going after the corruption on Wall Street. The Republicans hated him. They hated Elliot Spitzer. They called him every name under the sun other than Che Guevara. They said that Elliot Spitzer was anti-capitalist when, in fact, he was trying to stabilize the thievery. Stop it. Bring it under control. So they got him where he was weak, and they put him away. Right now, I don't know who to suggest in place of Christopher Cox, who himself, by the way, I would say not only fire him, which I said a week and a half ago, but I would investigate Chris Cox as far as I'm concerned, because I said just the other day that when you have gunslingers on the streets of Dodge City and they're killing each other, shooting at each other, they're having gunfights and innocent civilians are getting shot, and you call in a sheriff and the sheriff doesn't control them, moreover, he hides inside the jail, you got to get rid of that sheriff. Now, this guy's been hiding. Christopher Cox was handpicked by George Bush, and I know a couple of dumb conservatives who said when he was picked, oh, he's a great guy. I never knew anything about him. It turns out he wasn't a great guy. He's just another one of the boys, one of the old boy networks. So it's not about Chris Cox. It's really about who is going to be the Elliot Ness right now that we need. Now, in the last hour on the Savage Nation, I covered a number of very important topics, mainly what needs to be done. How do we get the economy in control? Many people say, oh, we don't know what to do. Nobody knows what to do. They're all pointing fingers. She says he did it. He says she did it. Dems say they did it. Republicans say they did it. A Republican talk show say it's the Democrats who did it. Democrat talk show say it's the Republicans who did it. That's worthless rhetoric. It means nothing. How are we going to recover as a nation? Well, you got to start with your own household. If you balance a checkbook, what you try to do is not spend more than you can afford, right? So let's start with how to tighten the belt. Right now, America's spending more than it can afford. On some of the money we're spending, we can't afford, as you well know, but we're spending it anyway. And so you start with the obvious. You immediately cut off all money being spent for medical, educational, legal, and housing to non-citizens. Those would be illegal aliens. That's about $100 to $150 billion a year immediately. You then deport one-third of all the prisoners who are in prison because one-third of all prisoners, or one out of three, are as an illegal alien. Again, that's a statistic that rarely comes up in discussions about illegal aliens. They're a huge drain on our economy, a huge drain on our economy. And make no mistake about it, the same crooks who busted out Wall Street are the same crooks who have been telling you that they do the jobs the Americans wouldn't do. And the reason they say that is because they would do them for less money. They wanted, in other words, slave labor. That's the only reason that they're suddenly in favor of illegal aliens, because they can abuse them, get away with paying them one-third of what they should be paying you to do that same job. So cut off all medical, educational, legal, and housing benefits to illegal aliens. That's $150 billion. There's 1.2 million people in prison. One-third are illegals. That's 400,000 people. At $40,000 a year, roughly, that's $16 billion. That's a starter. Arrest, indict, and try the CEOs and CFOs of Wall Street firms suspected of financial misdeeds. Immediately indict and try all of the directors of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Shall I go on? Because I have many other ideas. Fire Ben Bernanke and let him get a job at the NYU Film School in the documentary department. Fire Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, and let him get a job as a celebrity chef in Vail, Colorado. But let's look at the serious side of this issue. What was Spitzer trying to do before they got him on the hooker scandal? Who was he after? Who got him? This is a novel unto itself. If there's a novelist listening to this show, I would like to direct you to a wonderful article entitled Elliot's Mess from Greg Palast, which is now up on michaelsavage.com. It's a must read, and it does read somewhat like a novel about what Spitzer was doing before they lynched him and why they lynched him. And before we broke off, we talked about the fact that Spitzer not only took on Countrywide, he took on their predatory enablers in the investment banking community, and he named the mother sharks. He named the mother sharks of Countrywide. He then talks about Countrywide's top man, Angelo Mozzillo, and how much he's going to make. Even though the company went bankrupt, someone's made a lot of money out of this. But there's even more to go. On Wednesday of this week, according to this article, the unthinkable happened. Carlyle Capital went bankrupt. Then he writes, who? That's Carlyle, as in Carlyle Group. James Baker, senior counsel. Notable partners, former and past, George Bush, the Bin Laden family, and more dictators, potentates, pirates, and presidents than you can count. The Fed had to act. Bernanke opened the vault and dumped $200 billion on the poor little suffering bankers. They got the public treasure and got to keep the Grinnings house. And you got to read more of this. You got to read more of this about bailing out Wall Street. And on that very same day the bailout was decided, what a coincidence, the man called the sheriff of Wall Street was cuffed. Spitzer was silenced. Now, I try to get Elliot Spitzer on today's show. We called Elliot Spitzer, we called his attorneys, and I knew that he couldn't speak because you can't speak when you're under indictment. But I want you to understand what has gone on here and why the sheriff of Wall Street was taken down on the Hooker scandal. It's because he knew who was doing what and where. And if I were given the job, which of course I don't want, nor would I be offered this job, if someone said to me, Michael, what would you do to get to the bottom of this and how would you start fixing this? I would start where Spitzer left off. Harry Reid says he doesn't know what to do. He says nobody in Congress knows what to do. That's true. I'm sure they don't know what to do. If you've been smeared by these gangsters for your entire political career on both sides of the aisle, of course you don't know what to do. But if you're just an ordinary citizen looking in from the outside, what you do is you say, wait a minute, there was one guy who was onto them, and they indicted him, Elliot Spitzer. Forget about the Hooker scandal. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. So forget Spitzer if you want. Take all of his paperwork and give it to a legitimate personality. I don't know who would that be, because I know even after 9/11 we got a lie. Remember the whitewash called the 9/11 Commission? I mocked it 2 days after reading it. What a bunch of garbage. Again, nobody was responsible. The same guys who caused it or let it happen, the same people who were on that commission included people who were on Freddie Mae and Fannie Mae. Do you know that? You don't know that. You don't know that some of the same people who were on the board of the 9/11 Commission were on the boards of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You don't understand that this country is run by probably top 100 people. And that's a pretty large, that's larger than the number. But I'd say in the inner circle is 2, 3, 4, 5. There's probably 100 people that run everything. And they're on the boards of everything. You understand what I'm saying to you? The only place I can direct you for all of this that I know of, the only website covering it all is me. MichaelSavage.com has all these articles related to this right now, including the entire trail that he was on called Why Wall Street Wanted Spitzer Gone. Remember I said to you in the last hour he wanted $100 million from Grasso. Who's Grasso? You'll find out. He was after an insurance company called Marsh & McLennan. He said they were bid rigging, price fixing, accepting payoff from insurers. He said that CEO of Disney at the time, Michael Eisner, should give back money he pocketed from buying 30,000 shares in the 1999 IPO of Goldman Sachs. Why? Read and see why. He went after UBS. He said UBS improperly put clients into costly accounts. Spitzer accused H&R Block of defrauding investors in poorly performing fee-ridden retirement vehicles that were guaranteed to lose money. Spitzer widened the insurance probe to go after Universal Life Resources in the New York State Supreme Court, Manhattan. Finally, in that article, you see Spitzer filed suit against Insurer Liberty Mutual Group, saying they rigged bids and made payoffs to steer business its way. So there's quite a bit of background information that has been collected by Elliot Spitzer that I hope has not been thrown away by the new wonderful governor of New York, who was so conveniently put in place, as you well know, simply as a lackey of the Democrats in the state of New York. He was never elected to dog catcher. This is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I have not taken one caller in the hour and 15 minutes I've been on the air. And as you know, I've been off the air because of some various situations. I'm also going to be leaving you in about 10 or 15 minutes and turning it over to Rick Roberts, who's going to pick this up today. I came on the air violating doctor's orders, just as I violated his dietary restrictions and did exactly what I wasn't supposed to do, which was going out for lunch and had a soup, even though it was staying a liquid diet. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. I have a life to lead. I'll get better anyway, one way or the other. And if I don't, I don't. So if it's one way or the other, here I am. I have a lot of work to do, and I'm glad you're there with me. Now I want to take your calls. San Francisco, Kenny W. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I think your theory on why Spitzer was taken down is it's brilliant and it's spot on. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and I'm the only one in the United States of America's media who has talked about Elliot Spitzer and why he was taken down and when and by whom and who was behind it.
Yeah, you sure won't hear that.
I mean, because you know that he wasn't the only guy using an escort service in Washington.
Absolutely not.
All right. So why did they pick on him? Because he was the sheriff of Wall Street. That's what they called him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the only guy that was really forcing regulation of the
All right, now I have a surprise for you, Patrick. If you could name one story in my new autobiography, Psychological Nudity, that you can't wait to read, I'll send you a free copy. Name it.
How about Dead Man's Pants?
Oh, you win a free copy of Michael Savage's Psychological Nudity, which bears more than politics. It is in the printer. It'll be out October 15th. Go to michaelsavage.com to buy one. Please send his name over to our fulfillment house, and a copy will be winging its way towards the end of October. WNIS, Ron, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, sir. Michael Savage. I
yes.
agree with you 100% because I know the part. I've been watching them ever since I was a little boy. And I tell everybody, God ain't make but two kinds of people. There ain't no black people in the world and no white people in the world. There's only Jews and Gentiles. But the devil controls everything. And the devil controls our country. That's why our country's been messed up. Because the people's looking at color, they're looking at everything except for what the people need. We need somebody to go stand up for truth and justice. And we don't have no politician that's standing up for truth and justice in this country.
Well, no. That's why when I read from the Old Testament on this show, which I do sparingly, some people love it like you, and a lot of the people who worship false idols mock me. So when I read Isaiah today, Isaiah 20, it says, "In that day a man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship." You quite clearly know what I'm saying, Ron. Am I correct?
That's right. That's why the government sent three people to my house back in May, but I refused to pay taxes. And I told them
why. Well, I can't get into your particular thing now, Ron. I cannot do that. You'll have to respect my particular inability to involve myself in anyone's personal situation. I cannot do that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a quick break. Why Wall Street Wanted Spitzer Gone is on michaelsavage.com. And remember, I'll be right back.
Savage.
In a few minutes, Rick Roberts will be sitting in for Michael Savage, and he will be, believe me, holding down the fort here, picking up where I left off for the rest of today. He will be giving away free copies of my book, Psychological Nudity, so absolutely stay tuned. I have a story now to close this half hour with that is going to make your hair fall out of your head. The Democratic-controlled Congress, saying it is not equipped to lead the way to a solution for the financial crisis, is going to leave Washington until after the elections. I swear to God, it's right out of The Godfather. It's the joke I've been telling you about Batista saying he can't manage it. The rebels will come in from the hills and a happy new year and he leaves. Lawmakers say they're unlikely to take action before or to delay their plan to adjourn September 26th for the House of Reps, a week later for the Senate, and they will not return until after the elections. And they're going to leave this entire mess to the very people who mismanage this country, Paulson and Bernanke. I don't believe that this is happening in my lifetime. I don't believe that we are witnessing the abrogation of the responsibility of that we have granted to these people. I knew that they were dimwits, and I knew that most of them were dimwits, and I knew most of them were corrupt. I knew that, but I had no idea that it was this bad. If I read to you what they say, your hair will stand up. Harry Reid said nobody knows what to do. Did you hear this? Others are saying the same thing. Waxman says he's going to hold hearings on October 6th to examine what went wrong. Really? How about holding people accountable, Waxman, and telling us about that? House Speaker Nancy Pelosi defended the decision of Congress to adjourn. She said lawmakers can always be recalled to Washington. She said if there's a need to do so, we can come back. She says our work will continue even if we're not still on the floor. So in other words, our government is abrogating in the midst of a crisis. It's as though the ship has hit an iceberg and the crew is jumping off into a lifeboat and they're letting the ship founder at sea with the very same incompetent captain who got us into the iceberg. That's your Congress. That's your Congress on both sides of the aisle, including Barney Frank on the other side of the aisle. When I say to you that Psychological Nudity contains more than just stories about Michael Savage, I will tell you that this show has also got a lot of psychological nudity in it. And what I just exposed to you is not very nice. You now have a Congress acting as though they are running a banana republic, not the United States of America.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts in for Michael Savage. And Michael, please, please take good care. I appreciate the opportunity to be in for Michael once again. Michael was very gracious before he exited to say, hey, psychological nudity, the new book, you've got to see this. And first of all, go to michaelsavage.com. You need to go there, michaelsavage.com. You're going to find a ton of stories. Spitzer and all the information, I mean, truly, if you never understood why they call him Dr. Savage, well, you just needed to listen to the last hour and a half of the show. But go to michaelsavage.com as a refresher, if you will. Anytime you get in any long diatribe with someone, go to michaelsavage.com. All the ammunition you need to save the country is there. I promise you, I go there all the time, whether I'm filling in for Michael or not. Go to michaelsavage.com. Also, I'm going to be giving away some copies of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. We'll be doing that in just a little bit. But I've got to start. And, Michael, again, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And listen, please, 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 if you didn't get everything that he laid out for you and laid it out so succinctly that you can understand it and use it, more importantly, use it. If you care about taking your country back, you've got to be informed, and you have to have the ammunition you need, and that'll give it to you, michaelsavage.com. All right. Just a moment ago, Michael was talking about the unthinkable, the absolute unthinkable. The Democratic Congress may adjourn. Well, they may adjourn, leaving the crisis to the Fed and the Treasury. Well, wait a second. Uno momento, por favor, mi amigo. I was under the impression, now I've taken a nap or two since I first heard this information, but I was under the impression that the Congress was supposed to work on the will of the people and on behalf of the people, perhaps the latter more important. What do you mean you may adjourn? You may adjourn. And Pelosi saying, well, we can always call them back. You know, I may have a tea and crumpet party. We may call them. You're not going to call anybody back. You know that this Congress has been in power for 2 years. 2 years. Have they accomplished anything of significance, anything at all? This has been a two-year paid vacation with congressmen living off taxpayer dollars. They adjourn before what? Before voting on oil. Well, we don't really want to get into that. Now, you know, our heads will be a little more clear. We'll be able to work on behalf of the people a little better if we, you know, get a little rest, maybe play nine holes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not up to the task. Well, then maybe we need to find another employee. Now they adjourn without coming up with an economic solution. And you know what? I'm not even looking for a solution. How about a plan that other people can be working on in your absence so that when you do get around to coming back to work when you feel like it, maybe we can bring it to fruition in our lifetime? No, they can't even do that. At this point, it was once said, and I agree with it, we can only hope that they permanently adjourn so that we won't have any more stupid laws on the books. I mean, this is absolutely insane. It is insane. Again, at the risk of being redundant, I don't know that I have ever seen anything like this in my adult lifetime. You know, the historic failings left and right. Of course, the CEOs and the golden parachutes, you know, they could care less. Nah, they won't come after me. We're going to be on vacation for the next 3 months with members of Congress, by the way. And who gets left holding the bag? You and me. But by the same take, who gets to pay for that bag? You and me. I want you to hear this. And if you're driving in the fast lane, please move over to the slow lane. If you're standing up, please sit down. If you're a nursing mother, please gently remove the child from your breast, because this will make you crazy. This is one half of the so-called Democratic Dream Team. Barack Obama, this is his running mate, Biden. Now, I want you to listen to this. He's speaking to the show, Good Night America. Tip the waitress, drive safely. It's all, or Good Morning America, one or the other. Listen carefully to what Biden says.
We want to take money and put it back in the pocket of middle-class people.
Anybody making over $250,000 is going to pay more.
You got it. It's time to be patriotic, Kate. Time to jump in. Time to be part of the deal. Time to help get America out of the rut.
With all due respect to our system, what an arrogant ass. Yeah, it's time to be patriotic. We need to tax the wealthy even more, even though they pay the most in taxes, let's tax them even more, shall we? Let's, because after all, that's patriotic. You know, you wealthy folks, you $200,000-plus income earners, you really need to be patriotic. It's time to jump in there. It's time to get in the deal. This guy is so, what are you talking about? Do you not think the American people can go to Google and bring up a tax graph that shows who's paying the most taxes? You know, these guys, Barack Obama and this guy both, they're nuts. Bush's tax cuts helped the wealthy, and of course the middle class downtrodden. Yeah, that's right, they got more than I got. Well, of course they got more than you got. They're paying two-thirds more in their income tax than you did. This is crazy. Congress leaving, I don't understand it. I don't. I truly, truly don't understand this. All right, let's go to your calls. Todd in Virginia Beach. Todd, thanks for welcoming. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yeah, my question was what Michael was talking about earlier, about the whole Elliott Spitzer thing. If I remember correctly, Elliott Spitzer, that whole deal was done through the FBI. And with that being said, I mean, was it an anonymous tip from somebody, or how deep into our government does this really go? I mean, who's really going to benefit from this?
I think it personally, and Michael is much better versed at this than I could ever hope to be, and you'll get a lot more information on michaelsavage.com. But who is involved with this? How deep does it go? I think it goes as far as you want to go. I don't think anonymous tips are ever anonymous tips. That's the cynic in me that says that. I don't think they are. I don't think anonymous tips. Somebody is making something, even on that end. And I think this goes as deep into our nation's government as you want to go into it. And now what? Will it ever be ferreted out? Probably not. Will it ever be fully vetted in front of the American people? Absolutely not. Will it ever be fixed? Well, I don't know whether it'll be fixed, but certainly we've got to find some way for the country to survive. And, you know, I am just corny enough to believe that the power is still rests with the people, but not if they're not involved, not if they're apathetic, not if they're complacent, not if they continue to advocate their responsibility to mindless suits out there that are only looking for one thing, and that's to win. It's no different, my friend. It's no different than McCain, Palin, and Barack Obama and Biden. You know, on this whole economic issue, have you heard either one of them say one thing about how to bring this thing to some conclusion? One plan. The best plan I've heard about this is the one Michael gave just a moment ago. Get rid of the illegal aliens. You'll find tens of millions of dollars there tomorrow. Have you heard either one of these candidates speak about this? No. Why? Because it's all about the win. It's not about fixing anything. It's not about being energy independent. It's not about fixing the economy. It's not about educating little Sally or little Johnny or little Juan. It's about winning. And that's all it's about at this point. The best you can do is pick the lesser of two evils and stay in their face. No, we don't want a legal amnesty. No, we don't want any higher taxes than what we're already paying. We don't want to have to ship more jobs overseas. And no, if you're not a citizen of the country, I don't care how hungry you are or how educated you need to be, we can't afford to do it. Do I have time to break this down? I have time to break this down, I think. Let's just say you and I throw a party, shall we? We've got a nice three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car attached garage. Nice place, not opulent by any means, but a decent place. We send out invitations. Well, we can accommodate 15 people comfortably, maybe 20 if we use the back. How about this? We'll invite 30 people, put up a few tents in the backyard. It'll be a great thing. We'll have something to drink. We'll have a little eats. It'll be great. What happens? Somebody sticks a sign in the front yard that says free party, free food, free drink for everybody. All of a sudden, we look around. There's 300 people in the house. The house can't accommodate that many people. No more food, nothing to drink, nowhere for people to use the restroom. The infrastructure of the house is gone, and guess what? They get up and move to a different house. Our house is in shambles. That house is the United States of America, my friend. And the Congress getting up in the middle of a crisis saying, oh, man, I'm beat. I need some time. I tell you what, we'll deal with this economy thing when we get back from the Hamptons, all right? Hyannisport is calling. I've got to lift the sails. No, you don't. You work for us. Set your butt down. At least come up with a direction that we can work on while you're away. And that's the way we'll take care of this. No. Is that going to happen? Probably not. Probably not. Michael, New York. Michael, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I was listening to Michael Savage's opening statement, and really, I spent 30 years on Wall Street, and I've been listening to these MSNBC, CNBCs, and not once did any of them mention that after Enron, that Sarbanes-Oxley was established, and as a result of it, CFOs, CEOs were supposed to sign off on the financials, which included the balance sheets and the income statements, and all these assets that are being they're saying were over leveraged had to be priced at a value that they considered was the real value. Obviously, they weren't. They had to be off by almost 80%.
They weren't signed off on. And yes, that came into play after the Enron fiasco. And, you know, it's one of those things, wink, wink, nod, nod. We've done it our own way for so long. Okay, it's going to cause a little blip on the radar of the lamestream media. We'll play along. Okay, we played along. Now we're going back to business as usual. Is that not right, or is that not right?
Well, it shouldn't happen that way because the Sarbanes-Oxley cost the industry and the stockholders tons of money to hold these CEOs and CFOs accountable for what they were reporting. And obviously, they're reporting all bad numbers. That's what we should have as a tool to bring them on charges and indict them as felons.
Michael, I don't disagree with that. You are citing chapter and verse of what is in play, what is at our disposal to keep these people in check. But it's not working. You know, we could secure our southern border tomorrow if we had any political will to do so. There is no political will to secure the southern border any more than there's any political will to set on the heads of these CEOs and these huge corporations that are basically, you couldn't balance your own checkbook this way and get away with it for more than 60 days. Michael, you and I both know the tools are there. The people that need to be using the tools, unfortunately, not you and me, they're not using them because there's no political will to do so.
It's a sad situation. I couldn't agree with you more. But again, I don't know what the answer is, but somebody's got to do something because we can't continue this way. They basically destroyed the financial, the whole structure of this country. And everybody, the public pension funds, the 401ks, they're all been affected by it.
Oh, I know, my friend. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely without a doubt. Help me pronounce this name. Is it? Help me pronounce your name. Amrit. Is it Amrit? Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Amrit from San Francisco. First of all, thank you very much. I appreciate you waiting and forgive my ignorance. I wasn't sure how you pronounced the name. I've got a question for you, Amrit, because I'm just in a great mood after that last call. I've got a question for you. What story are you looking most forward to in Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity?
There are so many, but I have started listening to your show like 2 or 3 months ago, and I just love it on my way home.
Welcome.
The story that I was looking forward was where your mother was feeding you that heart attack diet.
Okay. Amrit, this is Rick Roberts. I'm setting in for Michael Savage. Michael is away, but you're absolutely right. The heart attack story in the book, The Psychological Nudity. I tell you what, Amrit, I want you to stand by. Just a second. Just uno momento, por favor, if you will. All right. Congratulations, Amrit. I appreciate the call very much. I appreciate your new listenership to the Savage Nation, and I know Michael does as well. You stand by as a new listener. You need to have everything you possibly can have to bring you up to speed. You need to gird your loins, shall we say, with the ammunition to keep yourself safe in the Savage Nation. So, Amrit, you stand by. You're going to get your copy of Psychological Nudity, and I'm going to be doing that a couple more times, all right? Michael, I'm sure Michael won't care. As a matter of fact, he went out of his way to say, yeah, absolutely, you can do that. So, Amrit, you stand by just a second. We appreciate it very much. More of your calls straight ahead. Oh, did you hear? Congress needs some time off. Yeah, it's just, that big room and everybody coughing, and I got to put a tie on every morning, and I got to talk to the media. Oh, man, I'm stiff from sitting here. All this, I got to get out. I got to move around. I tell you what, we're going to adjourn. Well, excuse me, we're in the throes of a historic downturn in our economy. Yeah, I know about that. But listen, I tell you what, let me get away, have a few sparkling beverages, clear my head. I'll come right. I'll help you guys with a little later, okay? Do your employees treat you that way at your place of employment? I'm betting they don't. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. And, Michael, thank you. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The tax. taxpayer, and we have to protect the homeowners and the consumers. This isn't about Hank Paulson and what he said. It's about the mismanagement of the Bush administration of our economy. We have a situation because the mortgage-backed securities issue went rampant without any, with all the risk and without any regulation.
I'm speechless. I'm truly, truly speechless. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage, and you're on the Savage Nation. I urge you, please, 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 go to michaelsavage.com. The information you need to take your country back from these mindless idiots is there. You just need to read it, absorb it, and retain it. michaelsavage.com. Also, we're going to be giving away here in a little bit another copy of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. And we'll ask you what one of the favorite stories you're looking forward to reading about. And we'll do that in just a little bit. And Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Pelosi, if this is truly, truly, truly how you feel, then just don't come back. Just adjourn and don't come back. I'm sure you've got enough padding going on right now, and I'm speaking financial, you could take care of yourself for the rest of your unnatural life. Just don't come back. The fact that Congress, and Michael was talking about this just a moment ago, believe it or not, I'm not making this up. We're in the throes of a historic economic meltdown, and just as they did when we were having the oil problems, they've decided to adjourn. Yeah, well, you know, we'll get to this later. Well, excuse me. You work for us. What are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, you little people, you unwashed masses out there, you'll figure something out. Yeah, I tell you what, just take it easy. Nothing's going to happen until we get back. This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible to me. It truly, truly is. And then the bailouts. And what? Stop calling them government bailouts, please. You know, it's like the undocumented immigrants. They're not undocumented immigrants. Undocumented implies that they have them. They don't. Aliens. No, they're not from outer space. They're primarily from south of the border, but they come from all over the world. They're illegal aliens. That's what they are. And when you call it a government bailout, what you should be saying is the taxpayer bailout. The government has no money. The only money it has is what it gets from us. So quit trying to make people think, well, I'm a benevolent government. I'm going to reach out and pick you up. No, you're not. You're basically going to take taxpayer money and do with it what you think is going to be in your best political interest. That's what you're doing. Frank, Virginia Beach, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I've been, I wish Americans would pay attention because I've been trying to make sense of things since the early 90s. And I keep seeing these politicians saying one thing and doing another. The different regulators saying one thing and doing another. And the corruption is so widespread. Someone in journalism said that it's the little lies that you have to try so hard to keep secret. The big lies keep themselves secret by their own incredulity, meaning they don't sound credible.
Right.
So, you know, you would have to, people would have to be morons. These politicians would actually have to be morons not to understand that a bubble was being created by what Greenspan did all through the 90s and what Bernanke continues to do.
Right
and,
now, yeah.
The Federal Reserve, they're not federal and they have no reserves. But they do have a printing press that will devalue your dollar every time they turn it on. And, they knew what they were doing. It was orchestrated, and it's hard to believe because I didn't want to believe it for so many years. But there's just no other, nothing else makes sense.
No, nothing else does make sense, Frank, and that's why, you said it in the very beginning of your call, which I thank you for very much. You said it. Americans need to pay attention. We have to pay attention. If we don't pay attention, and that means the details as well. If I've heard once, I've heard it 1,000 times, well, it's predatory lending. These people didn't read the fine print. Whose fault is that? But I'm in this car loan. I don't like it. Read the fine print. Well, I didn't read it. Oh, you didn't read the fine print? Okay, well, no harm, no foul. You go your way. We'll go ours. You're absolutely right. People have to understand. They have to become educated. They have to figure out exactly what they're dealing with. And we will continue with your calls. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. Thank you for that, Michael. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Element in the readjustment of our financial system, more important than currency, more important than gold, and that is the confidence of the people themselves. Confidence and courage are the essentials of success in carrying out our plan. You people must have faith. You must not be stampeded by rumors or guesses. Let us unite in banishing fear. We have provided the machinery to restore our financial system, and it is up to you to support and make it work. It is your problem, my friends. Your problem no less than it is mine. Together, we cannot fail.
The American people are concerned about the situation in our financial markets and our economy, and I share their concerns. I've canceled my travel today to stay in Washington, where I'll continue to closely monitor the situation in our financial markets and consult with my economic advisors. I spoke to Secretary Paulson this morning, and I will meet with him later on today. In recent weeks, the federal government has taken extraordinary measures to address the challenges confronting our financial markets.
Wow. You know, for my money, we could play those two clips back to back for the rest of the hour until it sinks in to the American psyche. Hi, this is Rick Roberts. Very privileged and honored to be sitting in for Michael Savage once again on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you. Well, I'll let you guess which one was FDR and which one was Bush. In that first clip, you could taste the understanding of position. The government's not your daddy. We've put the machinery in place. It's up to you to use it and make it work. In the other clip, here comes government like a Mighty Mouse swooping out of the sky on Saturday morning. Mr. Trouble never hangs around, not when Bush is in town. Do you see the difference? Do you see what unbelievable, just absolutely unbelievable. And at the risk of being redundant, I may do that again before the end of the hour. You can hear and feel and immerse yourself in the difference in the FDR speech. Hey, the government's here to provide a way, but we're not picking you up and carrying you down the road. On the other one, I guess I'm supposed to be taken aback. Hey, honey, call the folks. Bush has put his travel plans off for the day. You're kidding. No, really, he has. And now we're going to fix this. We're going to bail. Well, we're not. You are. But let's just say we are. The government's going to make this all go away. Well, the government's not going to make this all go away. They're just going to spend tens of millions of your dollars, and we're going to end up with the same mess we've got right now. Linda in Portland, Oregon. Linda, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Rick. Thank you for taking my call. My thing is this. I am a mortgage broker, and everyone is blaming us, quote, for predatory lending, okay? Well, it's not us. We do not set guidelines. It is the banks, such as Merrill Lynch, who has a subsidiary at First Franklin, et cetera, et cetera. They send out their reps to our offices to tell us, you can do this, you can do that. Then it goes to an underwriter. The underwriter says, yes, this is according to guidelines from the lender. You can take to do this loan. Okay, we had loans, credit scores 560 out of a bankruptcy 1 year ago, 100% financing, done. And all this stuff was set up by George Bush. I had an illegal alien coming into my office screaming at me because I wouldn't do his loan.
Well, yeah, I mean, who are you to deny one from outside our borders a piece of the American pie? because quite honestly, with no political will to secure the borders, and we're falling over one another, providing all types of goods, services, infrastructure to people that shouldn't even be here in the first place, they start to resent it after a while when people don't roll out the red carpet. Well, Linda, look, I don't believe that all mortgage brokers are predatory, not in the least. I have friends that are mortgage brokers, very close friends. But the scenario you just drew, a 560 credit score, out of bankruptcy for a year, upset because all he got was 100% loan. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is ridiculous. Only in America. You know, in this, you know, I hate to broaden this out because Michael did such a great job of being so specific and giving you the detail by detail, blow by blow. If you're living in a sanctuary city, you need to call your mayor tomorrow and say, hey, thanks, because part of this economic mess rests squarely at your doorstep. If you're in a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, or you've got one of these wild-eyed activists, you know, touting the fact that the illegals aren't getting enough of this or enough of that. If you want to find some disposable income that the taxpayers have put forth in good faith to be spent on Americans, get rid of the illegal alien goods and services and benefits plan. Get rid of that. Deport them. You know, I have to laugh. I go back in some of these archives and I hear some of these liberals saying, well, it's too expensive to deport all these people. Well, what's the cost look like right now? When we're in the throes of a historic meltdown economically, and you look at the amount of money states and cities are spending providing benefit packages and infrastructure and medicines and schooling to illegals, I'm saying, hey, I'll take some of that back. I'll take a little bit of that back if you don't mind. Yeah, there's enough blame to go around in this ridiculous housing fiasco. You know, we went through it one other time in the late 80s, you know, about 85, 86 or so. You know, they were processing foreclosures at ridiculous rates. Well, the government was handing loans out like they were chiclets. And, you know, so they'd walk away. They could live there rent-free for 9 months, find another 235 loan, get in it, live there. And the poor people in the rest of the block working three jobs trying to make their mortgage payment. They'll never see their property values come back. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But in large part, this is not because of predatory lending. If someone is too stupid to read the contract on an adjustable rate mortgage, then they're too stupid to have a house. It's just that simple. And no, I don't believe in taxpayer-funded bailouts. I don't. I absolutely don't. Some people, it's called thinning the herd. That's what it is, thinning the herd. Helen calling from Minnesota. Helen, you're in the Savage Nation.
Hi. This is my second time listening, and the last time I got one of the encore shows from Michael Savage, and I was going to ask how his colonoscopy went, but...
You know, Michael's doing very, very well, but, you know, Michael's sort of like a raging bull. Yeah, just tell him to sit still and see what happens. Yeah, he's doing very well.
Like I was lost. Like I'm the only person that I know that believes and thinks like you guys, and I feel like you are a light in the night. I am so glad I tuned into you guys. Where have you been? A little sanity for me.
Well, okay. It is a savage nation. There's no doubt about that. And have you gone to michaelsavage.com by any chance?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, a whole new world awaits you, Helen. Where are you calling from specifically in Minnesota?
I am Stillwater.
Okay. All right. Go to michaelsavage.com. All right. I want you to go there. And it will be like you opened up your own library. It's amazing the information you can get there. And it sounds like you appreciate good, solid, hard evidence when it comes to the issues we face. So promise me you're going to go, and then I'll let you make a comment. Promise me you're going to go to michaelsavage.com.
Promise. And let me know the name of his book so I can order it.
Psychological Nudity.
Psychological
Nudity. That's the name of the book.
That's fabulous. Okay. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted that our government is going to basically take a vacation, and George Bush going to put off his travel plans. I haven't had a vacation in 2.5 years. What about our travel plans? My comment is, you can see it coming. It was happening in 2002 in Chicago. The foreclosures on homes was through the roof. They'd never see it. It was unprecedented. I'm a little nervous.
No, you're doing very, very well. Go right ahead.
Absolutely flooring to read the news that the mortgages were being defaulted on left and right down there. They'd never seen anything like it, and it was happening in 2002 because they were given 120% the value of the property, and people were rolling in a new Escalade or a boat or four-wheelers or whatever into their mortgage and defaulting.
You're honored. There's nothing else I can say. You've nailed it, and I've seen it before. In a former life, I staffed and trained personnel for the Penn Square Bank debacle, so we could dive in and find out, okay, where are the real oil reserves and where are the ones on paper that never were spudded? You know, where is this? Where is that? Processing foreclosures for First American Heritage, Tycor, Stewart Title, big in the South, all over the place. And I'm telling you right now, you have nailed it. You have absolutely nailed it. This is a wonderful country with plenty of opportunity. But, you know, with freedom goes responsibility. Unfortunately, we're about a generation into the mindset. There is no responsibility. You've got those freedoms. They must be given to you. Simply because you're here, you must be afforded all these things. And that's simply not true, Helen. When you take that mindset, this is the situation you end up in. And to have Congress, and Michael mentioned this just a moment ago, to have Congress stand up, stretch their arms, hand me my jacket. Well, where do you guys want to eat? You want to go eat? We're going to adjourn. They're leaving on vacation in the middle of this crisis. So who gets to babysit the country while they're gone? Who gets to deal with this? You do. I do. This is unconscionable. And to have Nancy Pelosi, to have Nancy Pelosi say, well, I could always call him back if I wanted to. Nancy, please, and I mean this with as much respect as I can muster for the position in which you hold, just keep going. Just keep walking. Don't even think about coming back, please. Great call, Helen. Please don't be a stranger to the Savage Nation. Jessica in San Francisco. Jessica, thanks for waiting. How are you, Jessica?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Okay, well, I'm a 23-year-old single mother, and I've been listening to the Savage Nation for about 3 years now, and I absolutely love it. I don't know a whole lot about politics. I mean, I'm only 23, but I have been researching a lot since in the three plus years that I've been listening to the Savage Nation, and I absolutely agree with almost everything Michael Savage says, and just love the influence he has on me because it's
well, you have convinced me. You have convinced me. What is the what story are you looking forward to most in the new book by Michael Savage, Psychological Nudity? What story?
The medical reason why liberalism is a mental disorder.
Jessica, you stand by. I've got a copy of Michael Savage's Psychological Nudity just for you. That's great. Why liberalism is indeed a mental disorder. Listen, we'll do more of that and take your calls. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Always a privilege and a pleasure. This is what happens when I try to talk and read michaelsavage.com at the same time. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. You've got to go here. I don't have time to get into this because I want to get to your calls. michaelsavage.com. What Michael was talking about earlier, it's all lined out for you. And it's the truth that the lamestream media outlets don't want you to know. But go to michaelsavage.com. You'll see what I'm talking about. Also, I want to give away another copy of Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's new book. We'll do that here in just a bit. Congress is leaving in the middle of a crisis. There ought to be some accountability for that. You know, forgive me for breaking it down to the lowest common denominator. You own a business. For whatever reason, you've had a run on your widgets, and you've got to get an order out 10 times your normal production rate by tomorrow. And your employees tell you, oh, man, you know what? I am really, really beat. Got to go home. That new Survivor's on. The new Lost episode's on. Or the converse of that, something's happened. You're short-staffed. You've had a fire. You're trying to make do. You're trying to keep the doors open, make your money so you can make your mortgage payment. The employees just walk out. Well, we'll help you clean up the mess when we get back. That's essentially what your Congress is doing for your democratically controlled Congress is doing for you. But, I shouldn't be surprised. It's been basically a 2-year paid vacation anyway. And Pelosi, well, we can always come back. That's okay, Nancy. Even if everybody else does, you can stay wherever you are. Frank in New York. Frank, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How are you doing, Frank?
Not bad. I think that a lot of the CEOs and our government officials need to be tried for treason. And the reason for that, I to own a very good company for many years, a high-skilled industry. And I lost my company in 2000 because of the trade with China. And they've given away the seeds of prosperity. I had one of our senators, Rick Santorum, from Pennsylvania, or from...
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, sure.
Pennsylvania, tell me the reason my work is going overseas is because I make too much money. And I was I'm a very highly skilled toolmaker. I built tooling that this country can't do without. I mean, chances are you have products in your home that I built the tooling for. And it's just amazing. I was very involved in 99 in trying to fight our trade policies. And after about a year and a half, I got kicked out of a meeting for standing up in front of government officials and college officials and local business owners. And I stood up and I said that my comment was, after a year and a half, I'm hearing the same thing that I heard a year and a half ago, and I said that there's not a person here that cares about this country, the future of this country, their children, or the future of their grandchildren.
Well, see, Frank, that's the point, isn't it? That's the point. As you go from coast to coast and sea to sea in this great nation, you look around, you can see craftsmanship that has been lost. You can see things that are no more, that you can't buy anymore, you can't have done anymore, because the skill, the artisanship, whatever it is gone. And it's generally gone overseas to be stamped out, excuse me, by somebody's machine someplace. And, you know, I suppose that's the, let me play Democrat for a minute. I feel bad because of that. I really wish we had that craftsmanship back. I really wish that those artisans that built this great nation, and you can look at it and see it in the facades of the buildings in New York, and where is that? It's gone. You can't do it anymore. Okay, now I'm no longer a Democrat. Now I'm a conservative. Yeah, that's bad. But in the bigger picture, we try to preserve what we have and create something for the generations to come. And the way you do that is stamp out liberalism before it kills us all. A good indication is the front page today. I'm Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you so much for the opportunity. Always great to sit in for Michael from time to time. Please, and I know at the risk of being redundant, it's too important. You got to go there, michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, and, of course, the new book, Psychological Nudity. And we're going to give another book or two away here in the time remaining. But, you know, Michael was talking, of course, about Spitzer. He was talking about what needs to be done to return this great nation to some semblance of normalcy. And certainly the way we're going, it's not going to happen. I mean, look around. There are so many factors that play into this. The CEOs, absolutely, the CEOs need to be held accountable, especially the ones with golden parachutes that are, you know, trying to get as far away from their company as they possibly can and send as much of that money overseas as they possibly can. They need to be tried. They need to be tried for that, period. End of story. And their political accomplices need to be tried right along with them. Not a wink, wink, nod, nod, I'll catch the next one. No, you're going to catch this one. That's what you're going to do. And you need to take your country back. It's just that simple. If your city is a sanctuary city, they're partially to blame for this. Well, Rick, how do you figure that? They didn't have anything to do with Merrill Lynch. They didn't have anything to do. No, but they're a sanctuary city, which means they are the proverbial carrot hanging out there for the illegals to come to. Now, what happens when the illegals get there? They need infrastructure. They need a place to live. They need medical services. They need education. And the list goes on and on and on. Well, you do that in every city, in every state, in this great nation, and what happens? You can't afford it anymore. And who's paying for that? You are. Well, the government doesn't have any money. The government has $0. The dollars they have to create all these programs and to get all these people on one side of the political aisle or the other, that comes from you, period. That's what it is. This housing crisis, it was inevitable. You had to look at this thing. The type of no document loans. Are you kidding me? Well, what is that? I mean, we've gone through this at least three times in my lifetime. This by far the worst. What did we expect to happen? What did we expect when the three of the nation's largest lending banks are making loans to illegals? What did you expect to happen? Chris in Portland, Oregon. Chris, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Chris.
Rick, I want to get right to it. You had a lady mortgage broker call in. She said that at the end of the loan process that this illegal alien came in and screamed at her for not going through with the loan. What the hell is she doing processing and starting the paperwork for an illegal alien to start with? Because an FHA and conventional loans, I don't think it has a provision where you have to be a citizen. So my question to you, I've been looking for 1 year on the Google. I've Googled and Googled. To be honest with you, Rick, I'm all Googled out. I want to find a percentage of people, of the subprime people, the subprime loans that have failed. What percentage are illegal aliens?
You know, I'm working on that right now. I am absolutely, I should be honest about, my staff is working on that. I do, and my staff is working on that right now, especially in this huge, huge foreclosure market in and around San Diego. There's an area called Rancho Santa Fe, right next to Del Mar. Both of these areas, extremely wealthy areas. And even they are experiencing a lot of instability there. And you go out from that area, and all of a sudden you start to see the foreclosures picking up and picking up and picking up and picking up, especially around Escondido and Points West. And Points North, as far as that goes. We're working on that right now because I'm like you, Chris, it's not out there. I think it is out there, but it's not being made public. Those figures are not being made public. Why? Because it lends credibility and stability and a foundation to the argument I'm making. You want to get back billions of dollars? Start doing what the American people ask you to do in the first place. Stop providing for non-citizens of the United States of America. You don't want to call them illegal? Fine. We won't call them illegal. We'll call them non-citizens. Excuse me. I need to talk to you. No, sorry. Don't speak that. You're a non-citizen, right? Yes. Okay. No more food. No more education. No more subsidized housing. The carrot is gone. The mule finally got close enough, bit it off the stick, and it's gone. We've got no more carrots. All right? Just sort of like Tulsa, Oklahoma did. And all of a sudden, half the illegal population disappeared within a week. Why? No more carrots. That's why. Scott in San Antonio. Scott, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yeah, Rick. On September the 12th of 01, Alan Greenspan dropped the overnight interest rate to around 1.25% to 1.5%.
Right.
That gave banks and lending institutions free money because they were in a bad shape from 9/11. But he also pumped a lot of currency into the market for liquidity. So what lending institutions had were virtually free money that they wanted to lend. So they went and they found a vehicle, and that was collateralized pooled mortgages with certificates,
right,
which have been around since the mid-90s. And, you know, Mr. Bin Laden, maybe he's sitting in a cave somewhere chuckling. Maybe he's had the last laugh.
Well, financially, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, you can look back to even before 9/11. I mean, 9/11 is a pretty good barometer, I suppose. But you can even look back in the first Clinton administration, and what we were doing with certificates were ridiculous. What we were doing with REITs, commercial real estate market, was ridiculous. There had to be a pop of the bubble at some point in time. There had to be. And when there was, see, the problem is you got to let it shake itself out. Well, what if so-and-so goes out of business? Well, then so-and-so goes out of business. That's, that's a free marketplace. And they'll come back bigger and better, or they won't come back at all, and they'll be replaced by somebody that does it the right way. But you don't get anywhere when the government gets in the real estate business to the degree that they're bailing people out with your money. You just don't do that, or at least you don't do it in a democracy. Now, you do it all the time in a socialist state. You do it all the time in a communist state. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a second. Let me think here. Let's see. What was it Barack Obama said? He was basically mocking McCain when he said he thinks you wake up in the morning and, you're supposed to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you may not have boots. You're on your own. You were born into poverty and can't get a job. McCain says you're on your own. And he goes through this entire list of things. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. That's the way I was raised. I mean, it was. You're born into poverty. You don't want to be impoverished. You get out of poverty. That's what you do. You work. You work your tail off. You sacrifice. You put some dough away. You don't drive a new car every year, and you don't go out every night. You save and save and save and save. You know, let me boil this down. Let me just boil this down. You want to know how to turn the economy around? And it's true. I don't care where you are in this country. If you're listening right now, go find the strip center that's owned by Asians. And every city's got one. And you can tell because they've got a sign up there, and then they usually have some type of Asian writing, which I can't make her heads or tail of, but they do. What happens is, you know, mom and dad and the cousin and the three brothers or whatever, they all come in, they all work 24/7, end up buying the little store on the end, right? Then they save their money, they eat noodles ramen for, I don't know, 6 years, and then they buy the store next to it. Now that they've got two stores, they send back for their family overseas to come, and they work. And they don't make any, of course, you know, we're railing about the race card and this and that, and they're keeping their heads down, working right away. And then they got enough money to buy the third store. And then by the end of that first decade, when the kids are, that first group of kids are ready for school, they own the whole shopping center. Now they've got designs on the one across the street. Why? They have a work ethic. They have a savings ethic. They have it's not always about me ethic. That's why they own it. That's why you don't hear them, you know, ranting and raving and walking up and down the streets on whatever it is, Mexican Independence Day with the Chinese flag or whatever it is. No, they're not into that. They're in there to succeed, and they realize, oh, my God, for the first time in my life, I'm in a country that will allow me to succeed. Yeah, I don't ask anything of this country. I'm not looking for anything of this country. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Boy, that's a radical thought. That's exactly the credo that these people live by. And they work their tails off. Well, I wouldn't want to live like that. Okay, fine. That's up to you. But that's what they do, and that's why they succeed. And that was the spirit that built this great country. It wasn't, well, gosh, I don't know. You know, I'm really holding out for a management gig. And, you know, I think I hurt my back a little bit, too. I tell you what, let me go ahead and get on this particular government program or that government program. And besides that, I'm starting to get used to sitting home at 10 o'clock in the morning watching reruns of Wheel of Fortune. It's, I tell you, some of those words, there's something. Right? And then at the first of every month, go down and get your check. You won't find those people doing that. You won't find successful people doing that. And believe it or not, the spokesman for the middle class, most extremely wealthy people don't believe that. They believe in hard work, dedication, and sacrifice, and that's why they got a lot of money. They're already paying a disproportionate amount of income tax, and now Barack Obama and Biden want to tax them more in an effort to get a voting block out of the middle class. It's insane. No, it's not. It's socialism. At the very height of this, it's communism. Dave in San Francisco. Dave, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Yeah, I don't mean to pick on her, but I was that lady a couple calls back, the mortgage broker.
Yes.
She kind of upset me. She's blaming Bush. I mean, you know, everybody's piling on Bush, of course. But, you know, I've heard everyone knows this by now. This all came out about 95, 96, Clinton, the heady days of Clinton. And Clinton passed, I think it was called the CMA or something, the Credit to Mortgage Act.
Right.
And he sent down, you know, the dictates from on high to get this thing in motion. Now, if you want to blame somebody, go back 15 years and blame it on Clinton.
Well, look, that's too easy, Dave. And I say that because there have been plenty of opportunities since that administration to put the brakes on that or to reform that or to do something else. The fact is, people on both sides of the political aisle make a little something-something. I mean, that's the nature of the game. That's what they do. So, I mean, I'm not nearly as worried about pointing my finger. Okay, you're at fault. What I'm concerned with is how do we get back on track and how do we not elect somebody that's going to perpetuate an already ongoing problem? Certainly higher taxes on the wealthy is not going. I've never gotten a job from a poor person in my entire life. Never, ever. And very few jobs have I ever been able to get from a middle class person. Most jobs come from people that are very wealthy, that are investing in other businesses that then in turn hire employees. That's the way it works. What are we going to do? Tax them out of existence? Have them start sending that money overseas because they have the wherewithal to do that? I mean, look up the tax tables and then tell me how much sense it makes for Barack or Biden to say, well, if we just tax, you know, those Bush tax cuts, those were for the wealthy. Well, they benefited, and they benefited more than the middle class because they pay a disproportionate amount of income tax more than the middle class. So, you know, anybody when Biden and Barack Obama, man, I just get going on this, when they say they're going to reduce the taxes on the middle class, well, you can't come up with a tax break for only one particular group of income tax earners. That would be, that's right, it is, isn't it? That would be socialism. To come up with a tax break that only addresses one group. That's socialism in its purest form. That's what it is. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. It's like that statement Barack Obama says about, we'll be energy independent in 10 years. That is an absolute unqualified lie. There is no way. There's no physical way to be energy independent in 10 years. You can be going down the road toward that end, and I think we should be, but there's no way to be energy independent in 10 years. It can't happen. It's impossible. Man, yeah. What was it? The first call said, Americans need to pay attention. Man, we do. We absolutely, now more than ever before, we got to pay attention. All right. You can get a good start on that going to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. Also, I need to give another book away here pretty quick. Psychological Nudity, Michael's new book. We'll do that in just a second, too. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
The economy's in crisis. Enough is enough. I'll meet this financial crisis head on. Reform Wall Street. New rules for fairness and honesty. I won't tolerate a system that puts you and your family at risk. Your savings, your jobs. I'll keep them safe.
Experience and leadership in a time of crisis.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
We want to take money and put it back in the pocket of middle-class people.
Anybody making over $250,000 is going to pay more.
You got it. It's time to be patriotic, Kate. Time to jump in. Time to be part of the deal. Time to help get America out of the rut.
Whatever that means. Welcome. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you, sir, for the opportunity once again. Always a pleasure to be in from time to time for Michael. I want you to go, and it's just that important. I know I've repeated myself a lot, but this is important. MichaelSavage.com, MichaelSavage.com, and the new book, Psychological Nudity. I'm going to give another book away here in just a second. Let me be as honest with you as I possibly can. Republicans will say, well, you're not really a Republican. And Democrats obviously will say, you're not a real Democrat. I'm an independent. I'm a conservative first and foremost. I don't dismiss out of hand automatically something a Democrat says for fear I may miss something, i.e. Patty Schroeder's National Child Protection Act of 1993. Good plan. Administered horribly by the Democrats, but it was a good plan nonetheless. A good boilerplate, I should say. What I am hearing in this election as a conservative, it just absolutely disgusts me. Here we are in the throes of a historic economic meltdown in this country. Have I seen one candidate step up to the plate and say, this is the situation we're in right now, and this is what we need to do today to fix it? A bipartisan effort to fix it, because whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, you got there by someone's vote, and you got there pledging to work on the will of the people, be it a Democrat or Republican, makes no difference. The economy in this situation needs to be fixed, and it needs to come at the hands of bipartisan work in Congress and other areas of Washington. Is that happening? No. What I'm hearing is Barack Obama. I saw the crawl this morning doing my to speak to speak on the economy, and I thought, okay, I was in a news break. I turned my monitor down. I turned on one of my TV monitors, and the first thing out of his mouth was, McCain says, stop for already. I'll let McCain say whatever he wants to say. What are you saying about fixing the economy? And to be fair, I'm being as fair as I can possibly be. The same thing happened with McCain. McCain comes on and says, we're in the throes of this and that. You know, Obama and Biden would tell you, stop it already. That's not fixing anything. And that's not why we hired you people to represent us in Washington. Tell me what you're going to do. What are you doing for me lately? That's what I want. You want me to get cold-hearted about it? Fine. Democrat, Republican, somewhere in between. What have you done for me lately? What? Well, I told you how bad the other guy is. Okay, that's not doing anything for me. Now you're playing a game. A game is to win. You're not fixing anything. Edward in New York. Edward, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Edward?
It's an honor to speak with you, Rick. Thank you.
Edward, tell me, what do you want to hear from these candidates? Both candidates, because if you're a Republican or a conservative, you want the best guy for the job because you don't want him phoning it in. You want him to be the best possible guy that you can get out there against whatever Democratic candidate is up there. But what are you hearing from both of them when it comes to the economy?
I mean, what I hear and what I want to hear certainly are two totally different things. As I've listened to Michael and you over the years, and 99% of this, as far as I think the intelligent man, maybe not the educated man, can figure, is largely this basis on illegals and what they do to our country. Not that they're bad people, but the toll that this takes, as Michael stated earlier in the day before he left, you know, the hospital costs, the prison costs, the cost of doing business relates so much to that end of it, which nobody will even speak of.
Absolutely. Edward and Michael is right on point, and you have learned the lesson well. I'm sure Michael will be talking about that again, excuse me, to some degree. Edward, what's your favorite story that you're looking forward to in Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity?
Now, there's so many of them, but due to today's subject matter, it would have to be Love by the Sore Plant. Not so much for what that title means to Michael, but obviously with what's going on in our country right now.
Amen to that, brother. Edward, you stand by. I'm going to give you a copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. Can you hang on for that?
You have a wonderful day, Rick. And I remember you from the Bohemian Grove stories.
We'll get into that one of these days, too, Edward. I appreciate it very much. Listen, Psychological Nudity, you've got to check this out. It's Michael Savage's new book. The collection of stories there is invaluable. MichaelSavage.com. And I know I've said it till I'm blue in the face. It's just that important. MichaelSavage.com. I'm Rick Roberts, very privileged to be sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation.